for the doctor. Florence and Alan were going up.
Davis, 9. Jassy, 7. Barry, 5. Judy, 5. Danny, 3. Danny, Kelsey, 2.5. Mark, 14 months. And the baby, 10 weeks. So put to bed. You know, it's the most anxious time of the day. So everything was fine, except Barry said, but, oh, Danny Tilson came in, and he had worn his tennis shoes all day, and without socks, and they had gotten wet and dry, and the bottom of his feet was chalk white, like salt or something. It was one big blister, and it hurt. You know, it was just like you had soaked your feet in water all day long and walked on him. So he was crying, and Kenny took a shower with him and was trying to get him to stop crying and fix his feet and dry him up. And Danny, at this moment, the screaming was more than you can imagine. At this moment, Danny Bennett came in, and we had been at our cabin, and he had to go to the bathroom, but he wanted to go in his own cabin, and nobody was there. He's 3. So he had a BM in his pants, which he never does, you know. But he had tried to hold it so somebody was there. We didn't know he cared which bathroom he used. So he had a BM in his pants, so I was running all over, you know. And I take him back to the cabin, give him a bath. And in the middle of the bath, I hear Kenny say, "Jossie, go get your mother!" And I quick dressed up Danny, and we ran back, and Kenny, the baby, the teeny baby, had been screaming. And Kenny had fed him a bottle earlier. And Florence had said, "If you don't burp him real good, he throws up." And I kept saying, burp him, because I burped him, I know about babies. So the baby, while he was fixing Danny and I was fixing Danny Bennett, the baby was screaming, and he went over to pick him up, and he was going to give him another bottle, and the kid threw up. Kenny, from head to foot, I never saw anything like, from head to foot was curdled milk. you just never saw anybody so covered. Curdled milk, you know. And the baby was laying in a puddle of it on the table, with everything he had on covered. And so I ran in, and every time Kenny and I passed each other, we handed each other a child. He'd take one, and I'd take, we never spoke. You know, he had just taken a shower and changed all his underwear and everything. All he had on was his underwear, but he had changed it. And so I decided to change your underwear, and I took the baby, and I got a dishpan, and we gave the baby a complete bath, and we changed everything on him. And gave him another bottle, and he went to sleep. And Kenny read to, then there was a big argument with the kids which cabin they wanted to sleep in. Danny Bennett wanted to sleep in our cabin because Barry had the night before, but Barry didn't want to go to sleep in his cabin unless his mother and father were there without Danny, even if I stayed. So we decided, well, we'll all go to sleep in our cabin. And we had 4 double beds and a crib, and the baby had the buggy. So one by one, they started going down. You know, first the baby had his bath, and he went to sleep. And then Kenny read. Oh, he said he'd read him a book. And they all said, "What book will you read?" He said, "I'll read. Well, you choose one, and I'll read it." So all 6 of them chose a different book. So he read 6 books. So then we got them all down, and it was almost dark. Well, you know, it gets dark pretty late. So we sat down on the porch, and we hadn't spoken, really, you know, for 3 hours. And we sat down on the porch, and Kenny said, looked at me, and we started talking about fishing and stuff, and I said, "You know, it's really remarkable, because all the things that would happen tonight never happened again, or before, you know, and here they all happened at once, and we got them in bed, and we're here, you know." Oh, it was...
Yeah, let's see.
I don't like people to fix it. Why don't you bite?
Come here.
Oh, sure.
Why?
Oh, she's the perfect customer. Oh, Judy. You should have said something when you started to do that. She was just trying
to... Huh?
Don't you bite. Don't you bite your sister. Honey, these kids all are dirty. What?
Don't eat any more, you're going to have supper.
Wait, excuse me.
You'll spoil your supper.
Well, he's all dirty, I want to say. That's all. Now...
Have a drink?
That's Nikki's name. Lachlan Kyle. It means life. I like it. Sounds like it.
There's a street in Tampa, Florida named after you.
Did your dad do that?
Named after Merida.
Everybody in the family.
What?
They have a street after everybody in the family.
What?
Well, with their names and their middle names. And Judith's middle name is Meridell.
Oh.
There's one Judith.
You want some more?
I mean, the highest reading is Judith Meridell?
You want some more?
No.
You want some more?
It's going to take a while. It really is sick.
While you was yelling his damn head off, you'll learn. You want more?
He loves beer. But when they got to Chaim Street, they refused to go ahead with it. What do you think of that? They wouldn't let me in the street crying. Every other hand.
And the only way that we can exert any pressure or get any force on them is by electing some independents. Just a couple of them. And the few are important because they can swing votes on important measures. And this can force other legislators who have liberal tendencies to take a more liberal position on points like this. And that's why this program has been put forward. It's an attempt to put a realistic program forward and one that's flexible for us. We can pick whatever place in the state we want to concentrate our efforts. If we can find one or two candidates in Minneapolis, that would probably be the best situation. If the independents possibly get some labor union support, what? It's not always essential. There are some parts of the city where you don't have to get the union support to get elected. Legislature. There also are local elections. There are city councils. There are school boards. And there are also park commissioners. Anything you can think of. Just getting people elected and starting the machinery going is the only way that you're going to get political action. This doesn't mean it's going to become a progressive party and we're going to become the party of the future. But it means that numbers of independents with a progressive program are going to find themselves in an advantageous situation. And then the opportunity for getting together will come.
Of the natives.
I'm not taking a bath till I have to scrape that dirt off. Well, if I am coming away, who I can't I have one too.
Mommy! Mark! Hi! Hi! Bye-bye! Bye-bye!
Where's the microphone? I can't speak without a microphone. If this point calls for me to say something, quaint.
Here in the strange wild north country.
Even if I knew what the meaning of the word quaint is.
Here in the strange wild north country, we find that the people earn their living, read books, play baseball, go swimming, sing, dance, have cars, will travel. Except for a few things, they actually are no different than their neighbors, the pheasants. Their dress consists of varying degrees of nakedness, depending on the extent of being housebroken. We're thinking of the rubbing his nose and rolled up newspaper routine. There's an old saying, if you rub their nose with a rolled up newspaper, it's a game. Completely unrehearsed, celebrating the birthday of a distant relative, some 2,000 miles distant. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Debbie. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sparrowheart. Happy birthday to you.
He's 28 years old.
28?
28.
I'm gonna see him
next Friday. Oh. Got to be 28, a week from Friday. You were there.
Everything is the same except you are there.
Why didn't you let me say something quaint?
Say it now, honey.
It's off now, isn't
no.
it?
No.
This what? Is the time
we're not
going to
talk about it. We're just going to talk to Debbie and Bernie and Robin and Carol. They're probably in their new house.
Did they move?
Yeah.
Where?
Their new house.
What's
their
new house?
Their new house's
name
is... Where what? In? San Francisco.
Oh, I thought they moved to a different country.
Tell them to tell us about their new house. Send us a tape about their new house.
I don't know what quaint means, David. How can I say something quaint?
Mommy. I don't need that.
You don't either.
Tell them how you got that wall.
Well, Daddy and Mommy decided to go fishing. And when we were out there for about 25 minutes, we were trolling along. And all of a sudden I got something hit the line. Something hit the line. Started reeling in. And I thought there wasn't anything on. But at first it felt like it, but now it felt like nothing was on it. And I had a real, it wasn't a real big walleye, but it was my first walleye. And boy was I excited now. And we fished for about 2 hours. And I was
one time me and Daddy, another time, me and Daddy were going out fishing and we were trolling. All of a sudden it started drizzling. And so when we started, my father said, I don't like the looks of these waves. And so we started on our way back. And all of a sudden it stopped raining. So we went back, started trolling some more. And all of a sudden it started raining again. All of a sudden it started drizzling again. And so we went around on our way back, and about 10 minutes from home, it started pouring. Oh man, was it raining hard. And the waves were splashing over the boat like mad. And one time the boat almost tipped over, that time I was pretty scared. And my mother asked me how, if I was scared, and I said, no, not when the boat. The only time I was scared was when the boat happened. And I came in with my life jacket on, walked in the house with my life jacket on, my jacket over my head, soaking wet, all my clothes soaking wet, even my underpants. Yeah, I was pretty scared, and she looked at me like this, and she said, "Where's Daddy?" And I said, "Down at the dock house, stitching." Well, and I wasn't scared about the boat tipping over because my father said it won't tip over if you just stay still and hang on. And my mother got real mad at my father. She said, we all weren't worried about you. We thought you headed for the other side till the rain was over. Now?
Yeah.
Woo!
here.
You want to do that? Then you and Kenny can just sit down and say what you like.
Well,
huh?
Do you want to come back, or is it way out of your way?
No, I didn't find my way out of the stomach.
It'd be nice to have a conversation with you and me, and you're not hardly on the tape.
What?
Puff Pat?
No, I'm trying to wipe this drawer off.
Give it to Maridel. Take it to Maridel. It's Maridel. Yeah.
I have to take it back.
You're recording.
That I got a new round reel on my dad gave me.
You're talking to Deborah. He said Maridel.
Oh, I see. Daddy.
What? What did you say, Daddy? What's that?
Mine.
You see the sun? Well, I'll go out.
I have a hard time talking with 19 children crawling all over me. But I really was very thrilled to hear about everything. And I think it's just wonderful. And, you know, Rachel's been driving me nuts to going out to California this year. And I really don't think we're going to be able to make it. We have a letter that's sitting, Rachel doesn't know it yet. Maybe she thinks I mailed it. Sitting on the stoop out there to the stoop. That's the place where I'm supposed to pick up the mail to mail it. I'm really the stoop. Anyway, Danny, please, I'm trying to talk. And this letter, which I read, states that Rachel said that whether I like it or not, she's going out there if you'll have her. Actually, if she does go, if something is worked out, she is able to go out to California sometime this fall. I'll really envy her because I'd just love to be out there with her and with you and see you and tell you all the things that I find it rather difficult to say either in a letter or a tape. Actually, as far as letters go, you shouldn't feel bad that I haven't written because I've treated you in the same manner I've treated all of my other close relatives, friends, and everybody else that I know. That is, I've never written any of them. Danny, just a minute. Excuse me.
Don't hold it. That seems to me.
No, it seems to work better. I feel that tape is expensive, and being a frugal person, I should at least give you something of a newsy item and of what's happened since we've talked to you last. Actually, not an awful lot has happened. I'm making so much money that it's indecent, and spending so much money it's obscene. Our well went out. We had to pump, dig an entire new well. The same time as our well went out, our cesspool blocked up, and we had to dig up all the way from our cesspool and lay new pipe from the cesspool to the septic tank and from the septic tank back to the house. At that same time, my brother took do a project that I had talked to him about every 2 months for the last 3 years, namely knock off the hill and back, and a dozer showed up at the same time that all the other work was going around. And cut off the hill and back, and I had to build a retaining wall and put some sod down there. But we now have finally have a very nice play area in the back. And three or four other little things happened at the same time. Namely, Judy was in the hospital because she fell off our Mexican burros. I think you have been told that we have a couple of Mexican burros that the kids around here ride, and we have a wonderful time with them. And what do the Mexican burros do? They do two things. They walk and they stop. And mainly they stop. And if you've ever seen a comedy, a movie, one of these cartoons in which it shows a guy pulling on a Mexican burro and another one behind it pushing on a Mexican burro, well, just substitute David in front and me in the rear and you've got a perfect setting of how we look. Because these things, when they stop, they're stopped. And you can push them so far that they're practically fallen over. And finally, in exhaustion, you release your pressure, and they just spring back to their stationary position. It's almost as though their four legs have grown into the ground. But apart from that, Judy wasn't hurt too seriously, apparently. She did have a damaged kidney, and you've already found out that subsequently we had to take... She was in the hospital about a week. And previous to that, I'm sure you know that Marky had been in the hospital for about 10 days, and we had to take Judy to the hospital when she got something in her nose. Rachel says I'm stealing her entire story, but nonetheless, these are the main things that have happened. David's just for the first time starting to play baseball, and we built everybody in the neighborhood got together, and we, on some empty land, we put up a big backstop, and the kids are playing baseball out here like mad.
That's Danny in the background.
And Danny is in the background, of course, slapping people, hitting people. Mark, we finally got to bed because every time you hugged him, he bit you. And it's very lovely, and he's very sweet, and he has long eyelashes, and he looks like Debbie. That's right. He looks like a girl. He's just beautiful, but he bites all the time. Now, Bernie, I don't know if this is like Debbie or not, but if it is, my sympathies, because Mark bites hard. There really isn't an awful lot new that has happened that it's we can tell you about. Rachel wants to finish up. As usual, I'm working this evening, although actually in the last several months I haven't worked too many evenings. I'd say that in the period, in the 30 days from June 1st to July 1st, I didn't work over 25, maybe 26 evenings. But that's unusual. Most of the time, I only work two or three evenings a week. Yeah. Actually, right now, you might have read about the American Bar Association meeting in London. Sally Robbins, who you might have heard about, he's one of my associates, you might say.
He's your boss.
Some people call him my boss, is in London. He went to New York for quite a spell and delivered some papers there at the convention. Then he went to Dublin. From there he's going to London, then to The Hague in the Netherlands, then to Paris, to France, to Rome, to Tel Aviv, and he might drop off at a few other points that are on the way. He won't be back until his wife and his one of his daughters went with him. His oldest son, for some peculiar reason, didn't want to go with him, and they didn't want to take their youngest two children. But he won't be back till sometime in the middle of September. So I've got a lovely time this summer. As a matter of fact, this vacation you've heard about was a very cute vacation. I wasn't really going to take one at all. But after the month I spent with Sally getting ready for his vacation, I was just about all through. So I just picked up and left with Rachel and the kids and the Bennetts, and we went up to Osakis, which isn't very far from here. And every day at between 2 and 3, I was on the phone dictating and having my mail and Sally's mail read to me and dictating answers and replies to it and memorandums to everybody else in the office. So it worked out pretty well, and I was able to sneak away for a few days. But apart from that, because of Sally being gone, that's about all the vacation I'll have. And as I say, it was more than I really expected. We're really looking forward to the time when we have a little more relaxed vacation and are able to take a trip with all of the kids out to California, and you can show us all the sights. I'm going to turn the microphone over to Rachel now, because she's pointing at me to take Danny, who's hollering no, 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 because he knows it's his bedtime. But it really won't make any difference if you think this is going to get Danny off the microphone, because we'll put him in bed, and he'll get up once, he'll get up twice, he'll get up three times. As a matter of fact, he'll keep getting up all night long until finally we go to bed. And after we go to bed, then he'll go to sleep wherever he feels like it, and we just ignore him. Danny's very sweet and very lovable, and we will keep him. His personality shows on him. He wears it like a badge. You can walk down the street, and a man will stop you and ask you if he's in training for a heavyweight fight. But that's only because he's a little on the pugnacious side, and especially because he lost three teeth, which Rachel also will tell you about.
Yeah. Well, so Kenny told you everything I was going to tell you. All the bad, bad things that happened to us this year. And then I was going to have another category of all the good, good things. Like Jossie and Judy are going to day camp now and having a real good time. And on August 12th, David is going to leave for 12 days to the Y camp, where he'll stay. He won't be coming home every day. And he's real excited about that. He's going to take his sleeping bag and fishing equipment and It sounds like it's going to be a real fine camp. That's the one on the St. Croix that they work on every year, and they're building, and the building trades have gone out and built a dining hall for them, and it sounds very nice. And we just got back from a lovely week near Alexandria, where we went with the Bennetts. Debbie met Florence and her little boy Barry, who was the mechanic. And so we got two cabins up there, and they have three kids, 3 years old, 5 years old, and 10 weeks. And then we all went. And we didn't take the animals. Jossie said, cried all the way to Anoka, saying she wasn't going to go along if we didn't take at least one of our animals. David has a box turtle this year.
Tell him to listen to Danny's sweet good night.
Night night. Night night. Say good night to the sun. Where's the sun? That's Danny. And, oh, let's see, what else have we been doing this year besides our hospital visits? And for going this long without having anybody sick, we had it this year. Jossie said that Kenny forgot to tell you when we were drilling the well, and the day Judy came home from the hospital with orders not to walk. By the way, Judy rode around for a week in Robin's wheelchair and had a gay old time in it, going outside and to the bathroom. She wasn't supposed to walk for a while, and so Maridel brought over the wheelchair, and everybody got to push her, and but Judy's fine now. Well, that day they're drilling the well, and we can't flush the toilets, and I had planned to leave because we expected that there would be a couple of days without water, and the day I planned to pack up and leave, I happened to glance at Jossie out of the corner of my eye. And what do you know? She's got a little cough, and she looked kind of peaked, and I took her temperature, and it was 104, and kind of looked at her a minute, and somehow, for some reason, I glanced behind her ears, and she's got the measles. And these were the real measles, not the German measles, so nobody wanted us to come to see them. And, of course, we expected everyone else to get them, and we picked out a few of them and gave them the shots. Judy wasn't supposed to get it because of the kidney business, and so everybody got the shots but David, but nobody ever got the measles, including David. And Jossie was sick about a week, and then she was okay. And, oh, for months, David was so mad at us. Every time he squeaked or sneezed or had a little cough or cleared his throat, we put him to bed and said, "You're getting the measles." And we didn't let him outside once for a whole week.
Good night.
Because we were sure that this was the measles. But he never got them. And he was just mad at us, saying, "I'm not going to get the measles no matter what you want." Daddy went bye-bye. Danny's crying because Ken didn't take. So here we sit. Mother came over tonight. We thought if we cut a tape by tonight, for once maybe you'd get something from us on time for your birthday. And not that we don't think about it, but how do you know if you never hear from us? And Kenny's right. There is a letter waiting. And the first sentence of the letter is, "Would you like me to come when you have the baby?" And the second sentence is, "Do you care if I come if you have the baby?" And the third sentence is, "Don't you want me to come if I have the baby, when you have the baby?" And really, I'm just looking for an excuse. So I figured if you would say, "Oh, yes, I need you." Of course you don't with a 9-and-a-half-year-old second mother. But that would be such a good excuse to pack up and come. Mother says the baby's due in October. Everyone asks about you. I spoke to Audrey Larkin today, and she asked how you were doing. Do you want to talk?
No.
Okay. You can sit in this chair, honey. Do you want to sit here?
No.
Danny? Huh? It's summer and the corn is growing, isn't it? Do you see the corn growing? Real tall and green corn. Green corn. Oh, so he's gone.
Yeah.
Where does he have to go? For the town?
No, it was me. The sun shine all day. Light. Light. What does the light do? No, no. Mustn't touch it. Mustn't touch it. Night, night, son.
Night,
Go see Robin.
So now at last we get the kids in bed and we're sitting down here to read the paper and I'm going to talk a little bit so that we have something to say to you in the peace and quiet of our living room. There's so much I want to tell you. Dick and Shirley have bought a house and Shirley's pregnant. And expecting her baby in January. It's real, real exciting. I'm so pleased for her and excited for her. And she is too. She's not going to be teaching next year, of course. And she's real excited about you guys and says she's going to write to you and stuff. And they got a house out in Golden Valley that's north of North Minneapolis, so it's quite a ways from us, but we were out there a couple weeks ago and saw them and went swimming with them. Their kids are real big now and gorgeous, of course, and they have a pet crow and a little pup that befriended them, and so they're all pretty much settled. I told you Audrey Larkin asked about you and is real pleased about the house and everything. There goes the phone now. So maybe I'll turn it off until it's over with. The people next door are installing a foghorn. So every time they test it out, Pax barks. So every once in a while if you hear Pax barking, you know, you can't hear me. You'll know what's going on. Well, this week we've been recovering and enjoying and resting up from our vacation. I didn't tell you, last year I started taking dancing lessons from Nancy Hauser. It was about January. And really, it was just wonderful. Ellie has been taking them, and she loved it. And I knew that once I went to visit, that it would be awfully hard not to go again. But Ellie talked me into going. I was shying away from it, but I went. And it was really wonderful. And the very next day, Kenny bought me a leotard and tights and everything. I felt like a fool in them, but everybody else wore them, and some of them weren't any worse than I was. So no, and everybody's so sweet, nobody notices or anything. But it was at 8 o'clock, and Mark was still pretty little, and it was real difficult getting there on time. And sometime, a couple times I went, I hardly knew I was there. It took me till the time I got home to relax. This is also the time Mark went to the hospital, and it was very emotionally stressing. And then to go to a dance class, it just was so difficult. But next year I seriously plan on going again, and Ellie says she's going to go. So it's so relaxing. It's so, it makes you feel so good that I think it's one of my luxuries that I'm really going to take part in next year. Also, there's a Theater St. Paul now that's a year old. I got a notice about it today, and I'm toying with the idea of going down there. I really secretly or publicly would like to be in a couple of plays, but if they just have me making scenery and that's all, I don't know if I will. They say they need help, but of course everyone wants to act, so we'll see. This year I've done three or four programs for some of the Jewish women's organizations, some of which were very good, some not so good, and one that I thought was pretty good, but it wasn't received so well. Probably not so polished a performance, really. We tried to do some cuttings from Sholem Aleichem. We tried to use labels tape, but it couldn't be understood in the hall. I think that would have made it, because we were using Yank and the If I Were Rothschild bit. But it just couldn't be understood, so you know how that is on an audience after just a few minutes. I didn't play at all, but they still thought I played too much of it. I did use the violin music for background and for transitions, and I thought that worked out well, but people around here don't seem to be so used to it or something. We have neighbors all around us now. We have a house directly in back of us, and over on the hill, way over, that I loved, are two great big houses. But we can still see the Highland Hill and the river banks and the airport. And I don't think they'll be able to really cut it off from us. For a while, about a month ago, we were looking at farms, seriously thinking about moving from suburbia and getting a farm nearby and raising some animals, and close enough so Ken could go in. And we looked at some beautiful farms. It was really a lot of fun looking, because we met some very interesting people and saw some beautiful things. We saw one. It was really not a farm, it was an estate, and on it was a lake where the deer came to feed every day, and all kinds of wild animals and birds. But it really wasn't farmed. It was just left in its wild state, which of course really is so beautiful, and you don't see it so close to the city very often anymore. They were becoming pretty cityfied out here. The Lexington Avenue Bridge is almost going to be begun, and the kids have a brand new school right on Lexington and Highway 100, which they walk to during the summer for library day, and there is a playground period, but my kids haven't been going to that this summer. David is a little unhappy right now. He's trying to be good in sports and not succeeding very well. And it's hard in the summertime to realize that all you can be real, remember how good you were in school and how well you got along there. And when the most important thing right now is physical prowess, which I guess David isn't ever going to be a star about. He's trying, but tonight he said that when they pick the teams, they never pick him for baseball. But he hasn't had much practice. After maybe when he practices up some more, he'll be good enough to make the team. There's lots and lots of kids around here now. There's two girls living in back of us and four boys next to them, and they have plenty of kids for two teams. They're not all the same age, but they have a good time. Ken told you about the backstop that father's built. Also, Civic Association was organized out here. This year, Ken is the chairman of it, so that's taken some of his time. Plus, being on the board of Jewish Family Service and on the board of the Talmud Torah and on the board of the Jewish Community Center and on the day camp committee. My 2.5-year-old son just got up and came out to ask a few questions again before finally going to bed. I wish Mother could have stayed this evening. I think the thing I enjoyed most about the tape she brought back from San Francisco were the conversations where I almost felt like I had gone with her. And the ones she brought back from New York, too. Just people talking, and I could hear the voices and recognize the people, and almost felt like you were sitting in the room with them instead of the long monologues. But I certainly enjoyed the tape you people sent, explaining the wedding, the marriage, and we all got a big bang out of it, and wished we could have been there for one of your weddings, at least. The phone, of course, rang again, and Ken's talking, so I hope it's not for me. I can keep on talking. You can hear in the background. Of course, I'm trying to eavesdrop and listen. So Ken told you he's real busy. Sometimes I wonder if it's worth it or what the big mighty goal is, or maybe I lose track of it. And I'm reading and trying to decide what I'm going to do in a couple of years when Mark can go in nursery school, because I've had it, kid, and I believe in big families and I love them. But I can see where you can just get yourself into a mighty big rut and have a pretty hard time climbing out of it. Socially, we've been real busy with lots of friends. I've learned how to play bridge enough to pass pretty well with most of the people we know, so we play a little bridge. Not very much, but play a little bridge. And in the wintertime, we've been getting season tickets to the University Theater and enjoying that a great deal. They did some pretty good plays last year. They did Bertolt Brecht's Mother Courage. I'm sure it wasn't as good as the one in San Francisco, but they did a pretty good job. And it was pretty long, and you didn't come out, of course, feeling like you had a pleasant, sweet evening. Ken, turn off the water, please. Not only does he have to talk on the phone, but he has to keep the water running. So I've been studying up a little more on domesticity and have even gone so far, my fine feathered friend, as to invite my in-laws to dinner Monday night, which is the first time in world history that I have done so. But it's Judy's birthday, and she, as you know, always has difficulty deciding how much spotlight she wants to shine on her birthday. So she's going to have a little party at day camp, and then she's going to have her grandmother's et al. And grandfather for dinner. But we recently bought a steer, and it's the most wonderful meat that I've ever had, so I thought, well, it'll be a treat for them too. We were told that this kind of meat is not sold in the Midwest market, that it's saved for the Eastern restaurant market. And boy, it sure tastes like it. We've enjoyed it. It's wonderful. And so they have a lot of food, and it's a good season to try it, I suppose, especially when it's an excuse, when I have the excuse of Judy asking me to. So, of course, Judy comes home from day camp so tired she'll probably pass out before dinner and miss the whole business. But it's so hard to know when Jossie has a party, and David had five kids over and took them to a rodeo for his birthday, so you don't know if she'd be jealous if you didn't, and yet she says she doesn't. So now tonight she says she'd like to have a party. And so I don't know, we'll see how it works out. Next year she can have a big party if she so desires. Hoping David's going to give up those kinds of parties pretty soon, because if they come so close, it's mighty hard on Mama. Judy wouldn't talk much into the tape tonight, probably for the same reason she doesn't want to have any birthday parties. But she's going to start kindergarten in September. So, and boy, now with the girls in day camp, it's like I don't have any kids. The three boys are home. And David is busy outside most of the day, and so it's really the two babies. And what a difference when even one is gone. It's a big difference. And with two gone, like for lunch, and two down for naps, and David doesn't come in asking for things all day long, it's really a big difference. So now about you. I really think about you and Deb and Bernie and Robin and being pregnant. You know how sentimental I am about being pregnant and having babies. I've changed a little bit. I don't, I identify with it, but only in the past and not in the future. But I get very excited. My friend Joyce, the tall girl, I think you might remember her, she's expecting a baby any minute, and it gets real exciting to just be near it and be around it. And I feel funny thinking of you having another baby and so far away, and how much I'll be dying to see it. And so I don't know, nothing is resolved, I guess. Ken only got a week, and it was ridiculous to think of a trip that far for a week, and that would be driving. But I told him that I was going, and if I went, I would fly. But I would have to bring three children if I came in after school started. And so I don't know, but I'd like to hear your ideas on it, or when we will see you. If I thought you'd be back here soon, maybe I'd relax about it. But I wish we wrote more often and knew what was going on, and you just kind of wonder. Oh, Leon and Joyce Brown were in town and came over with their little boy David, who is just about Mark's age, just a little over a year. Very nice little kid and very happy, and he had a good time at our house. They've been stayed with her folks, and her mother has a lot of knickknacks and a brand new home, and kind of fussy about it, so the poor little kid's been pretty oppressed during his visit here. But they came here one very hot afternoon, and everybody was running around in only a diaper and bare feet, and so it was real nice here, because he just relaxed and played with Danny and Mark and had a real fine time. They look real good. They're going to be living in Michigan, and they're all, she's not pregnant now, but they're all set to start out on a big family. And so everything is, for them, sounds very fine. They had seen Ben and his wife, and things sounded good for him, too. He either had gotten his PhD or was just about to get it, and was very happy, and etc. I understand that Bobby has had rheumatic fever and just recently was getting out of bed for the first day. So she must have been pretty sick. I know no more than that. That's it the end. So maybe you've heard more than that, I don't know. It's so hard to talk to yourself and really feel like you're telling the things that you're thinking or you feel during the day and wonder about. People ask me how you're doing and everything, and so difficult because I just don't know. Oh, I didn't tell you about Betty's baby. I suppose Betty did. Naomi Ann, she's looks like the rest of Betty's baby. Real nice little girl, getting real chubby and very responsive, and they treat her like a first baby. Of course, Nikki will be 6 next month, so it's been a while. Maybe it'll be worse for you. And but for so long, they were so worried and so fussy over it. I don't think they were that bad with Heather. Although with Heather, I remember they were pretty bad. I don't know how it, maybe it won't last as long with this one. But of course, this one has so many fathers and 2 mothers, and she's a real nice little girl, and Betty was real, real happy about it. And real, I've never seen her so excited. I think Betty is just wonderful now. And she seems happy, and happier than I think I have ever seen her. Although there are bad days and stuff, but somehow she's so accepting and of the children now, and really happy. And they've been redoing their house. Tonight they're leaving to go up north for a few weeks, and she was real excited about that, to Bill and Lou's cabin, which sounds real nice, and the kids were very excited. They had a mallard duck, which they raised since Easter, but into a good-sized duck whose name was Gerald, but they left him up there thinking he'd still be there, but evidently some animal ate him or something happened to him, but he wasn't there when they came back the following week. And I was started to tell you about David's box turtle, great big thing that has a head like a snake, and David caught some frogs for him, and he eats them raw, live, etc. First time it happened last year when they found a toad and fed it to him, to the turtles. They didn't expect the turtles to eat it, and I didn't either. I didn't even think about it. And they put the toad in to live with the turtles, and before you know it, the kids are bringing in a turtle with half of a toad sticking out of its mouth, saying, "Save its life." So now we know what we're learning slowly but surely what turtles eat. Well, the sun is just set. Oh, the business with the sun. Every night Danny comes to get me and say good night or goodbye to the sun, because we can watch it go behind the hill. And we tried to get him to say it earlier before dinner when Mother was here, but that was too high and couldn't fool him. So tonight as I got down to the hill, he started talking about it. So I quick turned on the tape, and seems I wiped off some of Jossie's poem, which is too bad, because she took a long time, quote, memorizing it, end of quote. Mother had to go somewhere tonight, and so she left the tape recorder here, so we could make a pretty long tape and get it off to you. It's so hard to talk with the kids around, and the background noises are terrific, as you notice. There's still some kids around. David's sitting here, just came in from outside, and Danny just came wandering out again, and he's looking out the window at the lights and the darkening sky. It's the week we were gone, it was very, very hot, but since we've been back, it's been very humid, but not hot, and in fact, the kids haven't been swimming or swimming in the pool or anything since we've been back, but it's very humid. It feels hotter than it is, and well, you know how it is, but it hasn't been pretty. The skies are cloudy, and you hardly see the sun all day. Just tonight at sundown, it came out a little bit for a while.